23:20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even to the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee, and shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." Verse 20 again, I want you to notice here. It says, "Behold, I send my angel before thee." We're going to talk about the angel of the Lord going before the Israelites and before us in our lives as well. So let's pray together and then we'll be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the insight and the promises that it gives. Lord, we thank you just for this miraculous, miraculous story about the children of Israel going in and possessing the promised land, Canaan land. We thank you for just all the miracles that you did for them and worked in mighty, miraculous ways going before them, Lord. And it's not just a story of history tonight, but it's a story about us as well and what you want to do and what you're willing to do for us as your believers. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to follow you and your lead as you do go before. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Exodus chapter number 24 is a very neat chapter, and we kind of touched on that as we talked about Moses and the burning bush, and Moses going up into Sinai, and the Lord says to Moses, bring Joshua, and also bring the leaders of Israel, and we see that the leaders of Israel go up so far, and then Joshua goes up so far, and then Moses goes up alone into Mount Sinai, and this is a picture of God's presence in Moses' life, and you remember how important it was for Moses to have God's presence upon him. And remember, as he comes down from Mount Sinai, that his face did shine. It's important for you and I, if we're going to go down and work with the people in the valley, that we first go up on Mount Sinai and see and behold the face of God for ourselves. We can't go with other people. We have to go alone by ourselves. We have to get saved by ourselves. We have to really ultimately pray by ourselves. I know we can pray as a group, but it's ultimately a solo thing as we do unto God. Moses is emphatic about the fact that God's presence has to go with him. He makes a statement to God, if your presence goes not with me, I will not go. Everything in the Bible is about God's presence. We see that from the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the cool of the day. way. And we see the man Enoch, when men started to be righteous again, that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, this is God's eyes looking at Noah, but also Noah was looking at God's eyes, okay? He is finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a preacher of righteousness who walked with God. And Noah's journey was about God. God said to Noah, come into the ark. There's a reason why he said come into the ark and not go into the ark, right? So come into the ark. Why? Because God was in the ark. He was already before Noah there in the ark. And anything that God calls you to do, he calls you to come to himself. When God called his apostles, it says he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that they should go forth to preach. You ever think about the will of God as a place? Hey, can you shut those back doors, Steve? Very thankful. We had a really, when we came here, we had this plastic curtain back there, and it was like half fallen down in the back, and we were looking at new curtains. I'll tell you, just a cheap divider costs about $3,000. I mean, just one of those little pulley dividers, and it was totally the Lord put that in my mind, because I am not very smart. To put those big wooden doors back there, and we figured out how to mount them with 2x6s, and I want to tell you something, that is a blessing. All that noise from the nursery gets knocked back to the, keep it back there in the nursery where it belongs. So anyway, it's good to have those doors shut as well back there. So anyway, I'm going to have to start all over again. God calls us to walk with himself. Our journey is to be with him. Do you ever think about the will of God as a place? Well, no, it's a person. Well, you know, where does God want for you to be? Where does God want to meet you at in the morning? Go tell my disciples that I will be up in Galilee. He said, go to Galilee and I'll meet with them there. I have a feeling that for most of us in the morning, a meeting place with God is going to be in the Word of God. Some point of the day is going to be in this Word. I'm thankful that you're here tonight in Sunday night church. I don't think that God is meeting with people at home while they're watching prime time tonight. I think probably if they wanted God's presence, they'd probably be in his house where he is going to be. And this is how we end up directly in the center of God's will. We have to follow him all along the way. The will of God doesn't happen just by all of a sudden you get notion about what God wants to do with your life. You follow him day by day, and day after day you follow him, and then you end up in the point of destination. I know God put in my heart to preach the gospel, and he sent us to a church, Julie and I did, before I was even really, I knew I wanted to just give my whole life to God. And I really never thought that I could preach. I really never thought that I could stand up for anybody. I never had a desire to. I remember speech class in high school. I mean, that was, you know, your body just does weird things when you get up in front of people, you know. You feel your lip and your neck tingling and your face twitching. No one else can see that, but you feel it. You know, it's, how many know what I'm talking about? I never wanted that feeling again. You know, but I remember when we joined Southwest Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and they did have a Bible college there, and the Lord placing that in my heart to go to Bible college, and we went there, and we just really got busy serving the Lord in the ministry. Julie and I were there at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were involved visiting Saturday. On the bus route, we would be up at church at 7:30 in the morning, and on the bus, on the church bus, to go pick up kids, and this was very, very exciting for me. I mean, I was excited back then as I was this morning to get up and preach. And I was just, remember riding on Sunday morning, just being so thankful that the Lord would use me to bring kids to church to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was very exciting for me. And so, you know, back then, God didn't say, oh, well, one day you're going to be in Black River, New York. I didn't even know there was such a place in my life. But what happened is you follow him day after day, and you go from one place to another place as you follow him. And the will will of God is not a secret, but you have to do the will of God today. You have to do what God wants you to do today. And God will go before you and guide you. Neat thing here about the angel of the Lord, I'm going to make the argument tonight that this is a pre-incarnate Christ. Okay? And here's the reason why. We're going to look at a few things and we're going to look at a few different verses. Verse number 20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee," capital A, "angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into a place I have prepared." Notice this, "Beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him." He has divine attribute here. He says, "My name is in him." He has the attribute of forgiveness. He will not forgive you if you disobey him. And here it says, "But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak," he is God's speaking voice, this angel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the expression of the Father. How do we know God the Father? Have you seen me? You've seen the Father. We know the Father by the Word. And so this angel was going to be the voice of God. And let's look at a few different verses here. Look at Exodus chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2. Exodus 3:2. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the midst of the bush." In verse number 2 again, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame." So here you see the interchangeable, the angel of the Lord, and the Lord looked to him out of a bush. Look, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 32. And look at verse number 34. It says, "Therefore, now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf, which Aaron made." Look at chapter 33, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." Look over to Judges chapter number 2. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And then chapter number 2. Look at verse number 1. Says there, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt." So the angel said, "I made thee to go up out of Egypt." Same angel. And it says, "And have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Look at Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Judges 6:12, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And look at verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him." So I want you to notice once again, angel of the Lord is interchangeable with the Lord, just like in the burning bush. "And the Lord looked upon him." Last verse about this I want to look at is Isaiah chapter number 63. The book of Isaiah chapter number 63 and verse number 9. Isaiah 63:9 says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old." Look at there again. In their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Let me give you this verse. The Lord... the resurrected Lord opened up the scriptures on the road to Emmaus, and he taught his disciples, and it says in Luke 24:27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." You know what the Lord did? He opened up Moses. He opened up the first five books of the Bible and says, "Here's what it says about me." Then he opened up the Psalms and said, "Here's what it says about me." Then he opened up the prophets and says, "Here's what it says about me." Jesus is the key that unlocks Scripture. If you're wondering what a Scripture is talking about or what a Scripture says, look at the Lord Jesus, look at through the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it opens up the Scripture. I want you to notice here that this angel, it says that he prepared a way for them. And it says, "And I will send an angel before thee," Exodus 23:20, "to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into a place which I have prepared." What did the Lord say in John chapter number 14? "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to," what? "Prepare a place for you." Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ goes before us and he prepares a way. He prepares a path. You know, the Lord went before you 2,000 years ago. Eternal God who knew no time dies on the cross, and he saw you and he saw me, and he prepared the way of salvation. He died for me 2,000 years ago, and that way was made straight. That path was made straight. Another thing he prepared for me, as he prepared for me a home in heaven. I have a mansion in heaven that he is preparing for me. You have your place there. I have my place there. That is my place of residence tonight. And the victory as far as in my salvation was already won by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who purchased my pardon on that cross. I'm a blood-bought, Holy Spirit-sealed believer, a saint, a child of God. I have a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it is mine. So I am headed into that promised land. Now, we understand one thing about Canaan. Sure, it's a picture of heaven, but more, practically, it's a picture for you and I of the victorious Christian life, the life that God intended for us to live, a life that if we will go and let Him and follow His leadership, that is ours. Just as sure as our home in heaven is ours, that there is a victorious Christian life for you, there's a victorious Christian life for me, there's a perfect will of God for me, there's a perfect will of God for you, sure as your name is written down in glory, you have that if you will follow the angel of the Lord. He has gone before you and He has prepared a way. There's a few things that Moses is given concerning counsel concerning this angel. Number one, here, the angel was going to be their counselor. Look at verse number 21. Beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not. He will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. Look at, you know, we looked at that already. But chapter number 32, verses 34 through 33, verse number 5, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ going before and leading them into the promised land. Verse number 22, it says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, I will be an enemy to thine enemies and will be an adversary unto thine adversaries. It says, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and to the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break them down, their images. The Bible says this, says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Two ways to interpret this verse. Steps of a good man, Psalms 37, 34, I think. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Does the Lord delight in the steps of a good man, or does the good man delight in the steps of the Lord? The answer is both. The Lord takes delight, takes pleasure in His children when they do right, and His children takes pleasure when they follow the steps and they follow the pathway of the Lord. You know, we are, but, you know, us parents, you know, we're but, you know, but mere flesh, and we're human, and, you know, so we do sometimes raise our children just so they don't embarrass us, right? But, you know, some of our raising is just so, I mean, just for your own peace of mind. You know, there's two reasons why I don't want my kids to touch the hot stove. One is it burns their fingers really bad, and secondly, I really don't feel like going to the ER. You know, but it says in Hebrews chapter number 12, whom the Lord loves, he chastens every son who is his. It says, are you without chastening? You're not the Lord's. You are not born again in the family of God. And so when my children listen and they obey and they do right and they do their schoolwork and they tell the truth and they eat their vegetables and they do things that are good, I delight because it is good for them and it's profitable for them and they are headed in the right direction and they're doing the right thing. You know, we ought to learn lessons. I mean, I do. I learn lessons. I think, man, how the Lord must put up with this guy right here. I mean, you and I are no different. Doesn't matter your age as far as, man, we are the Lord's children. He says, I want you to go this path. And if you go this path, it will go well for you. And he says, I'm going to bring you into a land of a bunch of stinking pagans. God had mercy on the Amalekites in particular. You know, they waited for 400 years down in bondage to the iniquity of the Amalekites, or the Amorites, I should say. The Amorites was full. So God waited and waited and waited for 400 years. It wasn't some mean bully that said, you know, when you read about all this smiting and everything, God had mercy on those Canaanites for hundreds and hundreds of years. And God says, when you go in there, he says, I don't want you to bow down to them. You keep yourself separate from them. You keep yourself sanctified from them. You do not yoke up with them. You do not do business with them. You don't intermarry with them. You stay separate from them because you cannot handle the temptation of being yoked up with them. And he says, when you go in there to fight, let me tell you something. Before you this week is the devil. Every day, lead us not into what? Temptation, but deliver us from all evil, or the evil one, deliver us. And he says, when you go forward with me, I will deliver you from the wrong types of people and the wrong types of temptation. He says, but you have to obey my voice. You got to take heed unto my voice. I have made a path for you if you will follow me into the promised land. The Lord Jesus is our counselor. Not only that, is he is our comforter as we're on our way to the promised land. Look at verse number 25. And it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sicknesses away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I want you to notice some of these verses here. Here's comfort in life. And ye shall serve the Lord, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. The Bible says, the little that the righteous man hath is better than the great riches of many wicked. Many wicked. So here's the thing. A wealthy billionaire, trillionaire, whatever. They eat, and they get just as full as I did this afternoon at Chinese buffet. So you know what the Bible says? There is no rest for the wicked. They have worries, they have cares, they have toils, they have trouble. He says, I will be your comfort when you just do the simpleness of life, when you just do your eating and your drinking and your carrying on, you will enjoy these things. And it says there, and I will bless the bread and the water, and I will take thy sickness away from the midst of thee. One of the things that God says, as they went into the promised land, he said, I will put none of the diseases upon thee that I have put upon the Egyptians. The way of the transgressor's heart, folks. It's a pleasure of sin, but it's only for a season. You know, we can turn on our televisions, don't ever forget, as Hollywood lies to you and portrays sinful lifestyles to be something that is fun and something that is delightful and something that is without consequence, that it is simply not true. You know, one of the biggest lies of our society right now is the homosexual lifestyle. It is really portrayed and lied about that it's the equivalent of a man and a woman type of a lifestyle. Let me tell you something, folks, read the own statistics, but they are not monogamous at all. And many, I just read a statistic just the other day that in the black community, that homosexual and bisexual males, 50% of them, this is the United States, 50% of them have AIDS. I mean, that's not something we're even happy about or applauding about, but they're being lied to about what that lifestyle does to them. And, you know, you live in immorality and adultery and all this ungodly lifestyle that always takes you farther than you wanted to go, and you always have to pay more than you intended on paying, and it kills your very soul. We are protected from that. If we will live righteously for the Lord. I'm reading a I'm reading a wonderful biography about Winston Churchill, and the guy's a great writer, and he wrote 3 volumes, and I'm very thankful because I like his style of writing, and I can be reading him for the rest of the year because he's in big volumes. But anyway, Winston Churchill's father, Lord Randolph Churchill, was also a great orator like Winston, and was very well known in Parliament and was right on the doorstep of being the Prime Minister himself. Really, Winston Churchill, from the time he was a little boy, aimed towards being and fulfilling his dad's role. But something happened when Lord Randolph Churchill was a young man at Oxford University that destroyed his life. He made a great speech, and they had a drink for him of wine. He drank the drink of wine, and it was drugged. And he woke up the next day, and his friends, some great friends, he woke up the next day and he was in a house of prostitution, and he woke up next to some, he said, old hag. He said he remembered her with one dangling tooth right there. And immediately he ran to the doctor, and they, you know, this is a long time ago, so they put some sort of sanitation something on him. And then a couple weeks later, he broke out with sores and went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, just stay away from alcohol and this and that. And you know what he had? He had syphilis. And as through his young life, he suffered mental, and this makes you go crazy. It eats out your spinal column and your brain. And just one night in the world destroyed his life. And here he says, you know, none of these diseases, none of these hardships, none of these problems are going to happen. You know, it's a miracle. It is a miracle from heaven if a young man and a young woman can be married both together and know the Lord and just live together in harmony all the days of their life and raise a family and be protected by Almighty God. That's all I want for my kids. I pray for them that they follow the Lord, and I pray for their spouse, because I know that's like the two most important things. And he says that you will dwell in harmony. It doesn't matter. I don't care if they're rich. I mean, they can be rich as long as they're godly, okay? As long as they take care of me. But they don't have to be rich or anything, just as long as they serve the Lord. And he said, if you serve me, you will eat your bread, and I'll take away the sickness from you. And say, does this mean I'm never going to get sick? No, but let me tell you something. You get sick, and you get sick in the Lord, and the Lord's going to give you peace, and he's going to give you grace in it, and you will be able to bear it. You'll know it's not because of your own consequence for your own actions. So it'll give you comfort in this life, and comfort and purpose. Verse 27. He says, and I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which thou shalt drive out the Hivites, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from thee before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field be multiplied against you. And so the Lord is going to go forth also in our lives as a conqueror. He said, I'm going to send my fear before you. And there's a principle there. He says, one of you will chase 10, and two of you will chase 1,000. And as you go into the land, he says, I'm going to cause them to flee. Remember, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And some of you might have lived the lifestyle before. When you saw the lights of a cop car behind you, you thought, oh my goodness, oh, I better straighten up. Then if you're drunk, you thought, I better drive 20 miles below the speed limit so they won't know anything's up. But this says, you know, the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursue. And it says there, remember when the two spies went in and Rahab the harlot hid them? And it says, we have heard all that the Lord has done for you, and the fear of you is upon the whole land. And he said there that I will send as hornets before you. And I don't know if this is literal hornets, but how many of you ever had a run-in with hornets? Hornets are nasty, man. The hornets in New York, they live in the ground. Remember one time I was out weed eating. I thought, oh, something hit me, you know, because you're weed eating, sometimes stuff flies up. Oh, something hit me. Oh, something hit me. Oh. And then all of a sudden I realized I was surrounded by hornets. And so I threw the weed eater down, and you start running. Now, what do hornets do when you run away? They chase you. And they chase you, and they chase you, and they chase you. And you've got to run several hundred feet before these hornets stop chasing you. He said, I'm going to be a hornet unto them, and I'm going to chase them away. And you remember in the Christian life that, you know, Romans chapter number 6, is that we are dead to sin, that Christ has conquered sin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no Canaanite that's in your land that you cannot defeat through the power of the Lord. And also, I want you to look at a verse. I think it's important here that this was going to be a growing process. Look at verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. I think this is important to realize. I'm not making an excuse for anybody to not get rid of something out of their life, but understand that the Christian life is a growing process. I only half believe the testimony. Someone says, I got saved and I put down the bottle and I put down the cigarettes and I put down the this and I put down the that. And I started, I was like, all of a sudden, man, when you got saved, you were all of a sudden perfect and the super, they put a cape right on your back and you were a super Christian. I doubt it. Okay? The walk with the Lord is just one day at a time. And as you increase in the Lord, and as that nation was going to grow, then they would crowd out the Canaanites in the land. And that's why it's always important, especially with a new Christian, is to stress spiritual growth and spiritual things. You know, after I got saved and, you know, I wanted to be around the people of God more and I wanted to be more in the Word of God and more in the house of God, things just naturally dropped out of my life. And that's a continual process. I'm not done yet. You know, and I should be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in grace, we're conquering Canaanites and we're pushing them out of our life. I want you to notice verse number 31. And it says, and I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Verse 31, the Lord was going to set boundaries in their life. One of the things about a growing Christian is that there's going to be certain things that are going to be set and bulwarks and stable things in their life. One of the ways a mature Christian behaves is that you can count on them in certain areas in their life. You know that they are going to be there. I don't believe for 1 minute, you know, the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I don't believe for 1 minute that we ought to be anonymous as Christians, you know? It's nice to know that, hey, so-and-so is going to show up. I know that they're going to be there on Sunday morning. And then if they're not there on Sunday morning, I say, hey, where's so-and-so? They must have been sick. And then the next week they say, oh, hey, I was sick on Sunday morning. And then there's some people that may, you know, they're going to be on Sunday night or on Wednesday night or to visitation, whatever. But as God expands our life, there's going to be particular boundaries in our life that these are going to be our personal rules of holiness, our personal standards of conduct in our life. And he's going to set up these boundaries. And these boundaries are for safety. You know, it's just like in Israel. Ezra comes in and what does he do? He builds a temple. Then it's Ezra. Then what's the next book? Nehemiah. Nehemiah comes in and he sets the walls. And you notice that Nehemiah didn't come in first and build the walls because there was nothing to protect. But once you have a worship set up, then it's time to protect it. He says, I'm going to set borders, amen. I'm going to build a wall. And they're going to pay for it. Just kidding. He said, and so there's going to be boundaries around that land. And you and I in our lives, you know, what are your convictions? What are your personal rules? What's your personal conduct for different things in different areas in your life? You say, this is what I do, and this is what helps me in my Christian life. I'm going to set up boundaries with the land that is around us. And let's finish out. Verse 32, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in the land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto them. Let me read you two portions of scripture, and then we're done. One of the things that God stresses here over and over again in the Bible is being separate from the world. 1 Kings 11:1-2, it says, but King Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Here's a reminder. Okay? Didn't the Lord tell you to stay separate from those nations that are around you? And Nehemiah, as they married strange women, and Nehemiah came and chased them for it, he says, do you think that you are wiser and you think that you are smarter than Solomon? If Solomon couldn't handle the temptation, neither can you. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Lord Jesus, angel of the Lord, is going to go before Israel to counsel, to comfort, and then lastly, to conquer. Let's all stand together tonight. We'll have an invitation. Lord, we thank you that tonight and tomorrow, tomorrow morning when we get up, throughout the day and through the next day and the next day, all week this week that you've gone before, Lord, help us to look for you. Help us to follow your leadership. Help us to just let you be our guide. Help us to hear your voice and obey your voice and listen to your counsel and realize that you're the conqueror. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brandy plays, speak to God however he spoke to you.